mystery. Lord, with the grace of your holy word, speak through your holy word and through me in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, before I go any further, are there any family members or friends of Billy? If so, would you stand as you're able? For the blessing of family who are with us. In this passage, there's a lot of good things, and some of them you're not going to hear about today. But one of the things is just keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work you've been called from. And you know, Dave and Billy, we know that you'll keep your head in all situations and be used to God. And as we look at this, we have these fabulous words of Paul. It's hard to read these without getting a little bit of a chill. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good faith. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Paul is saying, I gave it my all. I gave it my all. And so like he's pouring out like an offering upon the altar of God. He says, the time of my departure is near. But for Paul, and this is really cool, just language. For Paul, if you hear the time of my departure is near, a little bit later today, Ellie, Kate, you'll be over at the airport, and they'll call and say your flight number so-and-so is boarding. Or sometimes they'll say, we will be boarding in 20 minutes. Well, I don't always trust airlines when they tell me that. Paul realizes that his end is drawing near. It seems apparent that the sentence of death is it's either been declared or it's about to be from the courts of the land, the military. And it's kind of nice that he speaks of his departure. It's almost like he's going to get on a plane. He's going to begin another journey with God in the heavens. And he celebrates that. And he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. But did any of you ever run long distances? Anyone? I used to run cross country. And my favorite part of the race was when I saw the finish line. And especially when I give it my all. It was always kind of a bummer when you got to the end and had too much energy left. You know you could have done more. And I liked when I had given so much that when I crossed the finish line, I just was done. And Paul knows that he's giving me this all. I can't wait for the finish line. And that's pretty good. He says, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. But the word he uses is fascinating to me. essentially like Stephanopoulos, or it's like Stephen. And this journey was prefaced with God when he consented to the death of Stephen. It was shortly thereafter he goes to Damascus and he hits the bright light and he's flat on the ground and he's virtually helpless. And he says, "Lord, Lord, who are you that wants to serve me?" And Paul, I just can't help but wonder as he says crown in Greek, which means Stephen, the sarcastic word, if he doesn't reflect back on how it began. If he doesn't reflect back on how Stephen Stephen forgave him. How Stephen knew that he was beginning a journey. You would have seen in Stephen's face that look that would have assured you that he knew where he was going. I've been with probably 200-300 people if they die. And those people really hold on to God. When the time comes, you can see their faith in their faces. And they know. And it gives huge comfort to those that are there. I believe there are those who know they're going to God and don't have quite that same faith because we are human. But he knows that part of the crown, it's the crown of righteousness. It wasn't from all the great stuff he did. It was from the great God who saved him. And he said, "And I know God will reward me on that day, not only me, but all of you who long for his appearing." But don't give up hope. But when I grew up as a kid in Brooklyn, New York, a long time ago, there was a team known as the Brooklyn Dodgers. And they invented a phrase that was said every year for a fair while. It may be familiar to some of you in Detroit. Wait until next year. And it was particularly frustrating because they would often win again and then lose to the hated, failure of grace, the hated New York Yankees. In fact, as I was growing up, and so I didn't like the Yankees, I knew that person wasn't all bad. Because I was such a Brooklyn Dodger that we hoped for them to win it all. And when we said, "Wait until next year," we expected them to win next year. And I remember when they won, there was celebration throughout the whole city. And it was really hard to be in Brooklyn if you didn't celebrate. I mean, even if you're a Yankee fan, you virtually had to fake it. Because it was something that brought us together to hope. We wait for God's victory in this world, especially when things don't go as we want, especially when people we loved have gone there before. In the infinite grace of the Lord Jesus, I believe that when Paul said the crown of righteousness, the Stephen of righteousness, he longed to be with Stephen. You see, because Stephen had received that grace, and he knew the welcome that awaited him. And then he says, "Do your best to come to me quickly." And he goes through, he has 8 verses in this magnificent charge. And then he's got 13 verses of personal remarks. This is believed to be the last letter that Paul wrote. It is his goodbye letter, his farewell letter. And he looks at Demas, who, because he loved this world, the now age of the new age, deserted him. He did it because it was dangerous to be around Paul, and probably feared for his life. And he talks about others that go out to Galatia and Dalmatia. And then he says, only Luke is with me. And I just wanted to refresh your mind to the blessing. If you have or are a good friend to someone, you realize the blessing of knowing you have someone you can count on as a good friend. And Luke was that good friend, that faithful friend. Never underestimate the ministry of simply being a good friend. We see him asking, bring Mark to me. And Mark's the guy who sort of ran off on him earlier on and then came back to God. And now he sees him as a blessing, a sign of hope. We see as he goes on, as we bring the cloak. I don't know about you, but I have favorite pieces of clothes. Most of all, you can ask it. But I never want to throw anything away. But it's cold, and he wants a warm coat. So he said, bring me your coat. It's sort of almost like a poncho, it's the warm coat. If he was in Michigan, he wouldn't have waited to the last letter to ask for a warm coat. It would come much sooner. But because he's in Rome, he calls for it. And it's a sign. He says, bring my books. If you love books and the scrolls, which are probably the scripture, the parchments. And he says, Alexander, the man of work, who did me a great harm, who probably testified against him, probably informed on him, and may as much as anything be the reason that Paul was going to die. And he says, well, we're going to take care of that. He's in essence saying, don't worry about it. Be cautious of him, but that's God's business. And then he goes on, and Paul left me. Everyone deserted me. But the Lord was on my side. He also says, don't hold it against him. When they deserted him, and no one spoke to him at his trial, that made him eligible for immediate execution. You see, if no one comes to your defense, the person in charge of the tribunal could just say you're guilty and have you executed. But for whatever reason, they didn't. But even in that, he realizes that God was taking care of him. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila, the couple that welcomed him and showed hospitality. Every couple, every person needs people that are there for them. The people, Billy Kate, who greet you in Peru, make you feel at home, probably the house parents and others. They do it. Pastors, they look for those encouragement. Even when we preach, there's a few of you that have encouraging faces. So I zero in on the encouraging faces. And those that don't, I look at you too. I just don't zero in. You realize again the capacity. And he speaks of the house of Onesiphorus, who may have lost his life for Paul, and so he's thinking of their family. And he says, do your best to come before winter. He's really saying, could you come before I die? Because he loves Timothy, and he just wants to tell Timothy he loves him. You know, if you love someone, and for some reason you haven't told them or told them lately, get on with it. And Paul, who loves the Lord, knows he's going to the Lord. He looks for the opportunity again. know as a writer, he was no doubt tempted to just give those marvelous first eight verses. It's extraordinarily well written. And Pictorius is salted. I wish I could have written it to him. But then in that letter, those 13 verses describing 17 people by name and a host of other relationships indirectly, he realizes that how important it is that we be there for one another. And it's really important for our missionaries. They need to know that you're praying for them. We really do. I counsel missionaries in many different countries. And they get hurt like we do. They get disappointed like we do. And they need encouragement like we do. So I know we're a little long. Here's what I'm going to do. I just want you to squeeze in enough so that you're holding hands with each other. And those of you up there, you can do it more. It's coming to the center. And just sort of mash the inner things and just hold each other's hands. And whoever can stand in the center, put your hands in, will hold this sort of work in. Okay? Would you stand? Whether you touch them or touch someone who's touching them, you can take a great chain. Okay. Could we pray? Okay. Heavenly Father, we love these two. And we love how they love you. And we love how they love God's people. And we pray that they would have a certainty of your love for them, of your love that